Then he brings out Jazzy B.
That was like, that was, no, I mean, like, that was just like, man, when he brought, yeah, Jazzy B out, it was like, wait, what? Yeah. No way, right?
And you can just hear, like, the pop as soon as he comes out and he's doing Sodoma, and it's just like, it was incredible.
Hello, everyone. This is our podcast, Folk and Funky. My name is Simran.
I'm Umran.
We're finally here. I know it's been some time, but you know, when this second episode drops, just know that, you know, it did take us some time to get together. We are starting out new, you know, this is a project, but you know, we're still committed to getting this done. I think today we're going to talk about 2023, you know. So much happened, so much, like, as in like music, concerts, just, you know, the whole, yeah, all of it.
Yeah, welcome to our Way Too Late 2023 Punjabi Music Highlight episode. This is supposed to be recorded back in December, but we want to make sure that we do this the right way and with the right attitude, because it's a passion project and it's creative, and we want to make sure that it's doesn't turn into an obligation or something that we look at as work. So appreciate you guys tuning in, episode two. We're just gonna kind of run down our personal, you know, favorite moments in the Punjabi music industry from 2023. Like Simran said, a lot that happened, from concerts to albums, songs. There's so many things that kind of took the industry by storm. So we're just gonna run down our personal favorite highlights for you guys.
Just jumping straight into it, this year, I think the big thing for me was concerts. I know, like, this year or last year, sorry, 2023, I've never been to so many concerts in my life for Punjab music. I know, like, the biggest one, I wasn't able to go to that, Coachella, when Diljit Dosanjh was coming out for that. That was the big one, man. That was, I mean, that's probably, you know, I mean, out here in California, that's, you know, that, or I mean, maybe the United States, that's a big music festival. And for to see Diljit, like, showing up, that was huge. I remember watching the video on YouTube, and it was powerful. That same feeling I get now whenever I see like a Sidhu Moosewala song drop now. I get that, like, just, you know, overwhelming feeling of, yeah, you know, we here, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a feeling of pride. I wasn't able to attend the concert in person, but watching the live stream on YouTube or wherever it was, and it's just like that overwhelming pride that, like, our people are being represented, and represented the right way. I think it's important that Diljit, like, was authentic, and it was for him, you know, he didn't really change anything about his show and about his performance to cater to a wider audience. Exactly. He kept it real.
He even spoke in Punjabi. I remember that was so authentic. That's the big one. It was authentic. He kept it, kept it real. And I mean, especially I think in these times, it's hard, you know, for all of us to keep it real, especially being in America.
So. Yeah. And being on that stage too, like, it's such a commercial, like, audience that's watching him, but the people that were in the crowd, you could tell, like, they were loving it. Like, the crowd was bumping, and he was incredible. It was a great way to represent the culture and the heritage and the folk, and yeah, we were so proud to see that. Diljit is one of those people that he's been around for so long, but unfortunately I've never been able to see him live. And from what I've heard, Simran, I don't know if you've ever been to a Diljit concert in person, but it's a show. Like, Diljit, he knows how to put on a show.
Yeah, I mean, like, put like yeah, Diljit, we went to or Diljit came to Yuba City for a Mela. I feel like this was like right around when Romantic Jatt came out, that movie came. Romantic Jatt? No, Jatt and Juliet, the movie. I'm thinking of this movie, sorry. But yeah, a Jatt and Juliet movie came out, and that song, Oke Meya, with Sherry, I think he said like Sherry Mon wrote it during the Mela, he was saying that. But yeah, that was the first time I got to see Diljit, and he actually has been to the Mela before. He came with Balveer Boparai, but he was just like background guy. He wasn't what he is today. And I mean that's another thing, man. Dude stayed committed to himself and get where he is now, right?
Yeah.
I've actually seen Diljit twice. I've seen Diljit here And I saw Diljit in India. That was when he had just dropped that song, Banga, and he had just started collabing with Honey Singh. So I got to see Diljit Dosanjh and Honey Singh in Punjab, in Chandigarh. And I've never, it was crazy. It was insane. Like, they had like a fence, and people knew Diljit was there. It was like a medical college concert. And I think it's called like Euphoria, right? The concert's called Euphoria. And they have a fence that, like, you know, preventing from people to get in, but they didn't have good like control over it. And literally hella people just toppled the fence. And it was just like everybody in the area that knew that he was there was there. And it was just insane. It's like the concerts out there are just insane. There aren't security like lined up in front of the stage, you know, people just like respect the artist.
Yeah.
And that was an experience. Cause I, you know, seeing Honey Singh and Diljit, they had just dropped that album earlier. The year before, and they brought, you know, both these guys are on the stage, and Diljit is not as, you know, he's popular, but after Panga changed the game, like the culture just changed in Punjab. It became more like Kala Kurtas, where after that, everybody is wearing Kala Kurtas. You know, like everyone's wearing Kala Kurta and Chadra. Like, it's like the thing to just wear all black, because that song Panga like created that culture.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, that's like something you hear like here in like America, like when like a hip hop artist does something and like everyone copies them, right?
Yeah.
I was like just a game changer in like the culture.
And like, he's been around the industry probably his whole life. I remember I was talking to my dad the other day, and he showed me a video of it was Shamsher Sandhu's daughter, I believe, from her wedding, and Babu Maan was performing. And it was like every big Punjabi artist at the time was there. And he showed me like this video from Babu Maan's performance at like the wedding reception or something. And there's like a tinier guy sort of in the background, kind of just like standing there. And he was like, that's teenage Diljit. And I was like, that's so sick that he was like around from such a young age. And I mean, he's put us on so well.
That concert or that event is insane in general. There's another guy too who was in there. He like, that's when he showed his vocals, Bindrakya's son, Gitaz.
Mm-hmm. Gitaz, yeah.
He has like a scene in there too where he sings one of his, I think dad's Buldiyan or something like that. And you're just like, oh man. Mm-hmm. Who is this kid? You know, this kid's legit. I think, after that, he probably became a thing. But that was a dope like event. Talking about the Midla, hopefully, you know, we have like a lot of recordings. Hopefully, you know, in later episodes, we can, you know, show some of those recordings that we have, because we've had, you know, some of the all time greats. We've had Bindrakya. I've seen Bindrakya as a kid here. You know, I didn't get to see Babu Maan even came here. I was in India at that time. I didn't get to see him. But I've seen Bindrakya. Surinder Shinda. I've seen Sukhshinder Shinda. You know, I've seen a lot of these guys.
That's what I love about Yuba City, is it's such a small town, and it's so like kind of unknown outside of the Punjabi community. But the fact that there's been so many big artists that have come here, or come there, I should say, and performed, and like you've been a part of like seeing them and meeting them at times, even like that's such a special thing for the culture.
Bindrakya, I think like he has like a, I think like his grandpa had like a relationship with my grandpa. So like there's like a, there was some relationship there. So like I remember Bindrakya coming out to our home, I remember. Because it's like knew him from like the painter days and stuff. So I mean, lucky in that regard. Yeah. And but I mean, one of the goats, definitely.
Yeah.
We are talking about concerts and all. Another person like in this year that I got to see, you know, again, Yuba City is a Midla. It's not like, you know, these concerts that are all over social media. You know, it's not going to have a lot of our age people there. It's going to be more older.
Right.
They had this past year, they got Jasmine Sandalas to come out. I feel like that was underrated. Like, she is hella underrated. Like, when she came out, man, she threw it down. And that was a concert, man. Like, she killed it. She's so good on stage. She's got such a good stage presence. And I think that's underrated in as an artist. Because singing is a thing, but like stage presence, one of the best right now, I mean, I've seen is Jazzy B.
Right.
His stage presence is like, I mean, if now he does like wedding parties.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, have you been able to go like a wedding party with Jazzy B?
Not a wedding. We'll talk about a Jazzy B performance that we saw in person this past year a little later on. But I think going back to Jasmine Sandalas, like one thing that I noticed about that show that stood out was seeing like our Bobby, our Mussies, your wife being there. And a lot of times from what I've heard is for women at Punjabi music concerts, there's a degree of sort of discomfort because, you know, there's people drinking and there's fights and stuff sometimes and stuff that shouldn't be happening. But from what I heard, Jasmine Sandalas was really good at like not just stage presence, but making sure that like the crowd was comfortable and the crowd was having a good time. And I think that's really important for any artist, not just Punjabi, but just to be aware of who's in the crowd, who your audience is. And I'm sure she knows that like her primary audience is probably women, and she wanted to prioritize that they are the ones that felt the most comfortable, because that, you know, reflects well on her as well. So I think that was really special and something that's different. And like you said, underrated, because it changes the way that you watch a show when you're more comfortable.
She's a different artist. I think she was the artist that brought like, you know, anyone on stage, you know, wanted them to enjoy. I think she was also happy because she's like local. And, you know, she's happy that she got to come to a local, someone invited her out. You know, she flew all the way out from Bombay. You know, that's a thing right there. No, I mean, she, a big thing too, as an artist, she made sure to stay there the whole time and had like, you know, took photos and met with every fan.
Mm-hmm.
That is another commitment. That's like a hard commitment. You know, you just put on a show, man. Putting on a show, you know, is a lot of work. That's a lot of energy. And then to, you know, go the extra mile and meet with every fan, and it's not, she's not getting paid for that, you know, she's on her own, you know. That's a culture change, man. Those kids, you know, younger kids gonna like take that. I know myself, when I saw like, you know, Jazzy B as a kid, that was a big deal, man. A huge change.
And that's like you said, to, you know, she's not getting paid for that. That shows that she's authentically grateful for her fans, and she's not just in it for the money. Obviously, you got to make a living, but she's in it for the culture. And you can kind of tell with artists like who's really in it for the culture and not necessarily primarily for commercial success. And when you see somebody putting on a show and interacting with their fans, that shows that they really appreciate, like genuinely and authentically appreciate the love and the heritage and all that. It's really special. And you can tell, like you can always tell from,
you could, man, like, man. Yeah. I would love to see her again. That was really, and she's actually dropped two albums since. I know one of the albums been slapping quite a bit, but she's definitely like, very talented. That was Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. So we do, I know UBC does Mela every Memorial Day weekend. I think they've been doing it since 95. They've only ever skipped it because of COVID. But annual Midla. Let's see who the next artist is. After that, I think the next show was Gadan Aujla. I was in DC for work, and there was an opportunity that presented itself. Gadan Aujla was in the area, and I was just like, you know, I gotta go see this guy. Yeah, man, Gadan Aujla. I mean, everyone knows who Gadan Aujla is. If you listen to Punjabi music, you know who
Gadan Aujla is, right? Yeah.
And that show was like, again, like Jasmine Sandalas and Diljit Dosanjh, they both have a stage presence. You know, they know how to work a crowd. They know how to like play music. One thing I like about Gadan Aujla is, man, he was just trying to like get everyone hyped up to dance. He just wanted everyone to just like dance. He's like, let's sing more, like he was taking his songs and making them like Bhangra songs. And also, like, I've never been to a Punjabi scene in DC area.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Like, I don't really hear about DC as like a, there's like a big Punjabi scene there.
There are artists there. There's one artist there I know. I think the only reason I know like Punjabi scene in DC is because of Amin Yad. There's that artist. He's a young guy, super talented, has really like folk voice. Like, yeah, he's super talented guy out from like DC area. He was also at the event. Got lucky to meet him. Wow. That was pretty awesome. But that concert was usually Punjabis, you know, we think, or some people might think that you're only going to see like Sikh people, right?
Right.
But at that area, you know, you're seeing everyone who is from Punjab, right? Not because Punjab isn't just, you know, one religion. It's it's multiple. Sikhs are actually usually like the minority there. Right. So like it was cool to see how like Punjab music affects everyone. And it's not just, you know, to one crowd. And I think that's what was like so fun about it. And I went alone and enjoyed myself. So, yeah.
Working a crowd is in any art form, whether it's song or comedy or dance or whatever. Like it's tough. You have to make sure people are engaged.
Yeah.
And you don't lose them at any point. Like it must be hard.
He's good. Yeah. I mean, who started, I missed most of his performance. I was late, but Icky was there too. And Ikwinder Singh, he's, you know, talented producer.
Yeah.
My guy's probably like one of the best right now, maybe even the best right now in the game.
He produced the whole album, Arunajala's album last year. Yeah. So that was a great album too.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely one of the top albums. I mean, yeah, he sang that album too. And, I think it's all what's cool about concerts is, you know, these singers don't just sing their album. They'll sing other artists' songs at their, you know, concerts. And that's what's, I think, so cool. Because you see that, like, your vocal range and all of that. Yeah,
that always also like kind of creates like a burst of energy is when you hear a song that you're not necessarily expecting to hear at a concert. Like even Diljit at Coachella, going back to that, like he had a little segment where he was singing like Jamkila on stage at Coachella, which I think was like so sick because that's like as folk as it gets, Punjabi folk.
OG.
And that's like from like the roots. And the fact that he brought that to that stage, and he was definitely intentional about wanting to do that. And he made sure that he had time where he could fit that in. That was like so hype. And
I respect that when someone, they come to a Punjabi like midla or like a stage and they show up in a kurta and a chadra. Like that's badass. Shit. I'm just thinking now, I'm like, this is a podcast about Punjabi music. Shit, we should be wearing Punjabi clothes, you know?
No, yeah, for sure. There will be an episode or two, or maybe we'll make it a thing. Yeah, maybe we'll dress up for this. I'm down.
Give it a reason. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
It was Arunajala concert, and then that was end of October for me. I got lucky to see him because after that, we had already, me and Umran had already bought tickets. We were pre-sale,
whatever you want to call it.
We were on that list, man. I got like my wife to put like her email in because I was like, dude, we going to this, and we taking the whole family. We knew, that was we're talking about the Rob Sepeda concert. We were ready. I think we heard about it in like August or like July.
He dropped his tour. So if he started in England in the UK, and then he went to Canada, and we were waiting for him to drop the dates of not only when, but also where, because we didn't know if he was even going to come to, like, we knew he was coming to California, but it was kind of this like debate between, is he going to go to NorCal? Is he going to go to SoCal? And so we were on it, checking every day. And then as soon as he posted that he was coming to San Francisco, me and Simran, we were waiting for the pre-sale to drop, and when it did, I think each person could buy like 4 tickets or 5 tickets each. And at that point, I think it was just me, Simran, and like maybe 3 or 4 other people, but we made sure that we bought as many tickets as we could because we knew that our whole family one by one, little by little, was going to be down to go to this concert. And so we ripped as many tickets as we could.
I mean, you could only buy four per person, but like, yeah. I was going to go, and I knew, Amrin was going to go. I know he had four people, I had four people, and my wife had four people. It was 12, was it 12 of us? I think it was 12 of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like.
The FOMO kicked in. FOMO, for our family, yeah. Real quick.
Yeah. And now they're all Rob Cepeda fans for sure. Yeah.
Simran started it. As like I mentioned the last episode, Simran's like the Punjabi music historian in our family. Like he's the one that puts everybody on. So he put me on Raf right before Rough Around the Edges dropped the album early in 2023. And so he had dropped Modern Mirza before that. I think he had also dropped Nachale Sonia before that. But I heard those songs and I was like, damn, this guy is different. Like he's doing something different. And then the album dropped and I was like, man, if he ever goes on tour, we have to go see him. And sure enough, he took that album on tour. And yeah, we got tickets for all the cousins. We brought everybody on a big ass party bus to San Francisco. That was like a party bus, man.
More epic. Yeah.
Yeah. It was incredible. Like the vibes, we were bumping music, having some drinks on the bus on the way there. The combination of not having to worry about driving and also all being in one space together, just listening to music, like the vibes were incredible. We even got one of our other cousins to take an Uber from San Jose to San Francisco, which is like an hour long drive for those of you that are familiar with
this. I had an extra ticket. I had 11 people, and then I had given it to someone, but they weren't able to come. So I was like, hey, you know, we got this extra ticket. We're on route to SF. I'm like, you want to go? And he literally, once I said that, he booked an Uber and he was on his way.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you know, that's a dedication right there.
I know. And nowadays it's tough because, you know, people have, you know, work and kids and stuff. So the fact that like that happened kind of like in the moment while we were on the way there to San Francisco, and then it ended up being a great night. And like those nights don't come very often these days.
That concert also, I mean,
yeah, the concert itself
was, yeah, I mean, the whole vibes were epic, but yeah, our family was more, I think, on like the mezzanine, right?
Yeah, the balcony.
Yeah. Balcony area. And me and Amrin were on like the floor, and man, that floor, I've been on the floor for a Carnage concert, and I remember, you know, it gets rowdy.
Yeah, it gets rowdy. Yeah. The venue was perfect for the concert, in my opinion, because Raf, I think we all still think of him kind of as like an underground artist, right? Like he's not a commercially big artist just yet, at least at that point. So it was a smaller venue, August Hall, San Francisco. It kind of, you walk in and it feels kind of like a club. And there's a balcony and there's like a little bit of floor space. And we were like up at the front, and it started out like our family was up in the balcony, and me and Simran and one of our other cousins also joined us on the ground for a little bit. But it started out with Slams DJ, Yuba City's own DJ Slams. Like that's
another guy.
That's one of the best. Like you always have DJs at crowds to like get the crowd, you know, or at concerts to get the crowd going a little bit. He had it lit from the beginning. Yeah. Like it felt like he was the performer when we got there. I was like, who the hell is this?
I'm waiting for when that guy has his own concerts, because that guy is that guy can kill it.
Yeah.
That guy Slams, man.
Shout out to Slams.
Yeah. Shout out, man. Killing it, man. Respect to that guy.
Yeah,
that kills it, man. Yeah. Local product for Yuba City, man.
Yeah,
that's what we love, right?
Yeah,
I think Bobby Gong
was also there. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bobby Gong's a big guy too, because he's a producer for Rob Cepeda.
Yeah,
probably like, yeah, these guys all go, these producers, the people who make their music, you know, they're not flashy, right? They're just the guys that are making the music behind the scenes. But yeah, Bobby Gong is, that guy's good. I think he made Modern Mirza, the song. That's his song.
Yeah.
And that's a dope ass track. I don't know. Yeah. I actually like first time I heard of Roth was I think I heard him on Instagram. He was like right before COVID, a bunch of our friends were just sharing this guy's like folk voice. And mm-hmm. like, man, dude, this guy's got like folk talent. I want to hear this guy. And we just saw like the short clips on Instagram. Like a lot of artists, you know, they pop up like that. But this guy is just like hit different. Mm-hmm. And I think he dropped like a track on like Guru Gobind Singh on YouTube.
Motanuna Chave Khalsa. Yeah.
And then he had like a song with DJ Frenzy, and he sang like Nag. And that was another like hype song. And then I think like the big song was Glassy Rhythm.
Glassy Rhythm, yeah.
That song is like a, you know, like full Punjabi song.
Yeah.
I remember I sent it to like a younger friend of ours and he was like, yeah, this is too old school for me, man. Because it's, yeah. Like, it's a folk song. It has a folk element to it with like, you know, a little bit of like hip hop.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of cool about Rob is
he
combines like, he's kind of like a true school, right? Like he was like a folk and then he has like hip hop in his beats.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and he can do both so well and he can integrate them so well. So, like he's from the UK, but I know just from listening to him, like he's a huge like East Coast underground hip hop head. Like he loves that sound and the way that he's integrated that. Like he's classically trained in folk music, right? Like he had an ustad and everything growing up. And he integrates the folk with the hip hop so seamlessly. And it's honestly unlike anyone that I've ever heard. And I don't think anybody's ever done it like he's doing it. Like he's doing something different and it works. And I'm like really excited for his future work. But that going back to the concert, when he came out, it felt like I was at a mela, honestly. It didn't feel like a concert in the traditional sense because he just comes out and his vocals, like you're always kind of a little skeptical of seeing an artist in person for the first time to see if they're going to be able to match the energy that they bring on their tracks. But I mean, from the start, like he comes out with the chain and with the fit and everything. He owns the stage and he owns the crowd. And like the energy was just different. And it only went up from there.
I think Gutter Nodula concert was the first time I was in like a non-Midla scene to see a Punjabi artist. And Raf Sabera's energy was next level when he came out. And that artist, and I mean, that concert in general was, again, I don't know how long we've been speaking about this. I mean, you can definitely tell he's one of our favorite artists. But that concert, man, he brought Pinda Jat.
Pinda Jat.
And that guy is like, man, I haven't seen that guy on stage. He actually used to come to Yuba City. I haven't seen that guy on stage for so long. And he's a good, he's got a freaking, he's got that OG song, Jata Diyan Boldiyan. That's a good, that's a banger.
Man. And he did Nachandi video or whatever that song's called. And Raf had the camera and everything out, kind of like reenacting the music video. That was a cool moment.
He's trying to like, mimic that. And that was, I thought he was recording, but I think, he's trying to like mimic.
Yeah. That. Then he brings out Jazzy B.
That was like, that was just like, man, when he brought, Jazzy B out, it was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
No way, right?
Yeah, that was a special moment because Jazzy B, I know like for me growing up, like my first memory of Punjabi music was Jazzy B. Like seeing him, I think I might have seen him at the Midla once, but just like seeing him on stage with the crazy hair and the jewelry and like his voice is so powerful, like it hits you. And the fact I hadn't seen him in person in a long time, and when he walked out, we were so close to him. And like it was out of nowhere too, the way that they did it, the whole crowd just blew up. I have it on video and you can just hear like the pop as soon as he comes out and he's doing Surma. And it's just like, it was incredible. Like the folk vibes in that room, you could tell. Like, I know Simmer, you've spoken to me about this before with Raf. You were thinking about bringing him out for your wedding and you were talking about how like they're all about the culture, right? Like they don't need a whole lot.
Yeah, they're all about like they're all about the culture, and that's, you know, invigorates like, oh yeah, these guys are authentic. I mean, from the beginning, the music he's dropping is authentic. He's not chasing for views. He's chasing like what he wants to do, and I respect like that's the type of artist. Like, that's what I love. I mean, just going to like Diljit has like dropped some songs that are sometimes questionable. But again, he's an artist. He's doing what he wants to do as an artist. And that's what I like respect when artists do what they, you know, what they want to do and not because of outside noise.
Yeah. You want to stay committed to and true to like what you do well and what you want to do and not just bend to like what the public's opinion is or, you know, getting pressure from the fans or the labels or whoever it might be, the money, you know, that must be tough as an artist to like, I mean, I've never been an artist. I have no talent.
It's a livelihood.
Yeah.
Right. This is,
you
put a lot of, a lot of blood and sweat, a lot of energy into this product. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, this is end of February, but like, I mean, we know right now that Rafa Silveira is dropping that album. I think I heard like how he was working on that album while he was, you know, doing these concerts. And that's, man, dude, that's a lot. That's a really pouring in his.
I mean, it's like 24/7. Like you wake up and you're doing music and you're performing, and performing is a lot. It's not like these guys just walk in, they do their thing and they leave. Like it involves a lot of planning. It involves a lot of like logistical stuff. They got to make sure the show goes smoothly. And then in the background, to be able to put your full focused energy into a project that's obviously very near and dear to you. And he's still sort of at the beginning of his career. So this is all important stuff that he's doing, that he's, you know, trying to establish himself in the scene. So yeah, that work ethic must be crazy to be able to like go on tour from the UK all the way across the world to San Francisco and also be working on music in the background. Like,
yeah, no, definitely. Definitely inspiring. Yeah. I mean, thank God we got like someone like Rob right now in there. Cause I mean, that was a big thing of like, we wanted to take our family to see Rob Cepeda was because, you know, we wanted to show them that in the current scene, there are people that make music that, you know, that some, because you might not be interested in the new music, right? So Rob Cepeda kind of like connects people from like the Jazzy B era. So like we had like, you know, we have some cousins that are older. I think when they brought Jazzy B out, you know, they were just like blown away that this guy is, you know, this guy. Yeah. Like he's him.
He's so big for putting the UK on. Like, I know that's something that he wants to prioritize, is making sure that he's representing the UK scene. Yeah, like you said, that connection I think is a really good point, because like, you know, since Jazzy B, there hasn't really been any artist who's like consistently hit like that folk vibe, and Raf is like bringing that back. Like they had somebody designed a shirt, I'm blanking on the name, they threw him a shirt at the concert, and then I think a couple of weeks later, or maybe like, when was the Nugget Kirtan relative to the Raf Cepeda concert? It was like the day after, right? Or like the week after? Yeah.
So they were, the concert Sunday was,
yeah. So they were selling that shirt at the Nugget Kirtan, and my mom got me one, and it's, you know, Raf on the front, and on the back it says bringing folk music back. And I think that's really like, that's Raf right there. Like that's the statement, like he's bringing it back. And the fact that he's connecting it with Jazzy B and, you know, bringing him out at concerts is just like, it's great. Cause it connects it to, like you said, like the people that grew up on Jazzy B.
Yeah, no, like they have that element. I would love to see him like work with True School, because they kind of trying to do the same thing. But then again, one thing with Rob Cepeda too is he's like bringing out artists or like producers who are unknown like that.
Yeah, he really puts people on. Yeah,
like Dodge Olic, he was new. I think that track on his mixtape, Jatti Di Lahore. I think that's
first that was like his very first like commercial track. Yeah.
And that's that was a hit, man. That's one of the
It was a great song.
And then he made that song, I think Mirza too.
Ranja, yeah.
Or Ranja, sorry. Yeah. Ranja. And that's right.
With Daj Alik, yeah.
Yeah.
And now this new album coming out is also gonna feature Daj Alik as well. That's so cool. Like he puts people on, right? Like if you follow him on social media, like if he's looking for a, you know, a film crew or a director or something, he'll just throw something up on his Instagram story and he'll be like, DM me. Like that's rare. Like most artists, like they have their people that they work with and that's it, you know, and you know, that's fine because that's what works for them. But he's so open to like, I think as a creator,
I think
getting people's points of view. Yeah.
I think some artists, that's what they do currently. Mm-hmm. I think in like the current era. Like I know like out here, like my sister, I mean, she's in film and she does stuff like that too, I think, where they'll reach out, they'll use social media. I mean, especially him, he has a wide connection. You have that many followers. And the one thing that they say about Rafa Cepeda is he has like a cult like following.
That's a great way to describe it.
I believe it. That's so true, man. I don't know what he did, but he has a cult like following. Maybe it's also because he's worked with Sidhu Moosewala, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a thing, making his videos. Like he has
he directed Celebrity Killer music video.
Celebrity.
Yeah,
he directed, I think, another one too. But like, Celebrity Killer was one.
Yeah, I mean, cult like is a great way, because like I said before, like commercially speaking, he's not to the level of Diljit or Karan or AP. But the fans that he does have, they're like crazy, like dead loyal on. And like passionate, like, fans, because he's struck a chord with the community and with the culture. Like he's kind of reawakened something, and it's going to be really cool to see where he goes.
Sold out in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
5 or 10 minutes. Yeah. That's like 200 tickets gone in 5 minutes, bro. Yeah. What the hell?
Like, yeah. And then you see him at, you see him at Boiler Room, you know, performing alongside Young Sing, and just the, just watching the performance on video, that like was, the, that, the energy. That's
a performance to see.
Like, yeah.
I think what was crazy was, I think his ticket was
$25.
Okay, $25 per ticket, right?
Or, yeah.
Per ticket.
Yeah.
And people were reselling it for like $300 or $600 online.
Yeah.
And people were buying it. That's the freaking thing, bro. That's insanity thing, man. They want to see Roth. So
Yeah.
I think that
FOMO's
was
almost definitely real. Yeah. When you see other people going somewhere and you want to go, it's like, fuck it, I'll pay however much.
No, I had some friends, I think, that they bought the tickets for Yuba City and also New York, because they knew New York would be a different, and I mean, New York concert was different. You know, he brought more like East Coast hip hop there.
Yeah, like he brought Dave East out, and he's doing a track with him on this upcoming album. Yeah, it's definitely, I think the Bay Area, like Binda Jat is another like kind of California type. I mean, he's probably from Punjab, I'm not 100% sure, but like he grew out of California, like he made songs, shoots videos in California, and so for Raf to like be cognizant of that, he's like, all right, I'm coming to Cali, like let me bring some Cali people out. And Jazzy B is also huge, I mean everywhere, but in California too,
West like, Coast, because he brought like the West Coast connection, so like it was cool because he had like, I mean, that I don't think that's ever happened, that's never happened before.
No, that's
and Jazzy B on
the and Jazzy B, yeah, that's never
and
happened.
I mean himself, obviously, right? That's a experience, that's a maybe a once in a lifetime thing right there.
Yeah.
And then
and that shows that he's not just going and saying, okay, I'm performing here, I'm gonna sing and I'm gonna leave. Like he's like, all right, how can we put on the best show for this crowd, for San Francisco and then New York? Like, who can I bring out that's gonna really strike a chord with this?
And nobody this knew group of fans? Nobody. I mean, yeah. I mean the people who put it together, like I have some friends that put it together and they're like, oh yeah, we knew this was gonna happen, we just had to keep it on the
computer. Yeah,
but thank God they did not tell me. And I got to see it, right? But I think also they're saying like Kuldeep Manek's daughter was there too.
Yeah, she was there. She was up front.
Yeah, that's I never got to, I think that's the only artist I never got to see here in New City or out here in California, Kuldeep Manek. But another go I wish I saw. But I think that's I think we talked quite a bit about concerts.
Yeah,
I think we do any more concerts after that, because that was November and there's no concert in December, I believe.
Yeah, I think the day after Raf was Raginder, also in the Bay Area. That's a Union City guy.
There were concerts. There was Raginder was just the day on the Sunday.
Yeah, and we were so like, yeah, it was Nagakirtan day, and we were all so like still recovering from the Raf concert, so we didn't get to catch that one. But
I think also Fateh actually came out around that time, or I think he came earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure. And then also, I mean, one person I missed, I wanted to see, was Young Singh. He came out here too. That guy kills it on the floor. Yeah. It's cool because he adds like, you know, he does like his, you know, dance music, right? But he'll in some places throw Punjabi elements into it. And that's what throwing that to like, you know, everyone get accustomed to hearing that. That's, you know, that's what we want. Also, I mean, the one concert I missed, I had like a family emergency, but like, I wanted to see Chandni Nathan. I mean, those guys are just hype, man. They're West Coast too, man. They're out from
Surrey, more West Coast guys.
You know, so like, those guys are doing, man, that guy, Chandni Nathan's like, just, his music's just different. I don't know. To me, it just hits different. It's dope. It is West Coast style. And He's like a guy that just, you know, made like funny videos on Instagram and then you know, started making songs for like, the Go Home, and then he makes more like Punjabi focused songs and like chill vibe songs, and those are pretty dope.
I don't think Punjabi music has ever been more diverse than it is right now. Like, there's something for everybody. You know, you could make a playlist with a bunch of different sources and different artists and sounds, and you could send it to anybody. Like, there's folk, there's hip hop, there's like R&B, there's EDM. Yeah. Like, there's something for everybody, and it's such an exciting time.
I think we touched quite a bit on 2023. We talked quite a bit. I think we talked a lot about. We got a bunch of concerts.
I think this was the year of the concerts for sure. 2023, like so many new artists, so many new sounds, and it's so diverse now. There's something for everybody, and especially in concert, the fact that these artists are able to bring that same energy in person and create that vibe and those experiences for people, like that was like, we're still talking about the party bus. And it's February now, and that concert was back in November. So that's like, you know, 4 months down the line, and that's like a core memory that we're going to always carry with. And the best part is like when people, a lot of our cousins didn't even know that many rap songs, but they just go because you know it's going to be a good show. After the rap concert, I would be down to send any Punjabi music concert, even if I don't know the songs, because you just know that the vibes are going to be impeccable, especially if there's a DJ like Slams getting the crowd going, and then just being with the people and enjoying the music. It's hard to find that anywhere else.
The experience is why you go, right? I mean, there's definitely, I know Diljit, he's like been rumoring his concerts. He's got like one in Vancouver in April. He's got one he's trying to do in Toronto. Hopefully he does one out here too.
Yeah, I think he's doing like a stadium or something. It's something significant that he was talking about.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's performed at that big of a venue.
Like
a Punjabi artist by themselves. I mean, that's what Diljit is doing. He's done it here. He's performed at Oracle.
Yeah, Oracle Arena.
Massive stadium.
And he's paving the way with all these performances for the artists to come after him, right? Like, you know, Coachella is one, and then he's performing at a stadium later this year, I believe. Like, you're going to start to see that happen more often in the future because
AP Dillon is playing. He's going to be at Coachella now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right there. Paving the way. Yeah.
And the special thing is they're very different artists, very different sounds. It's still special to see, like, okay, Diljit kind of put everybody on notice outside of the industry. And now we're going to see AP, and who knows who's going to come after him. It's just going to be really exciting to see.
AP Dillon will be interesting because, I mean, he's, him and Diljit sing, they're opposite.
Completely different,
I think Diljit does, he is going that route, but, like, he, I feel like Diljit can, like, kill a folk performance, right?
Yeah.
AP Dillon, I don't think he does, I don't think he has any, like, folk type of songs. His is more like this, like, R&B, like...
Yeah, techno, EDM, whatever you want to call it. It's dance, a different sound.
Yeah, dance, I think that concludes our 2023 recap. I mean, we're already in 2024, so definitely we'll be checking out 2024 in a bit, cover maybe... You know what's going on. Hopefully we got some viewers up the big thing about this podcast is just, you know, talk about Punjabi music, and, you know, this is a this is important to us, and, you know, we want to just see it grow. Definitely have a vision for future episodes, but hopefully we're able to record and be more consistent. Thank you for everyone who listened.
We could go on for hours about every song and every artist, because much happened.
I know
it's such an exciting time to be a fan. That's it. Thank you guys for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed, and we'll be back with more episodes in the future. Hopefully we get a consistent routine with recording and editing and stuff once we get in the flow of things. It's tough as creators. We're both working full time, and this is just like a passion project that we're doing on the side. So we got to make sure that we prioritize it and have fun with it. And we're excited to keep putting new stuff out. Got a new setup this time. Hopefully you guys can see my face better. New lighting and all that. Yeah. So I think that's it.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right. Peace. Bye.